after Mamet Har Sinai experience of receiving the Torah, after that enormous moment where the heavens opened up and Kadosh Baruch Hu Kivyachol appeared to the people, right? They saw him, Ata Reis L'Adad, Ki Hashem Elokim Ein Od Mavado. The Chumash tells us we're in Perek Kaf, the entire people saw the thunder and the flames, the sound of the shofar and the smoking mountain. The people saw and trembled and stood from afar. They said to Moshe, "You speak to us and we shall hear. Let God not speak to us, lest we die." Moshe Rabbeinu's response in Pasuk Yud Zayin 17, Moshe said to the people, "Do not fear, for in order leman nasot etchem, ki levavur nasot, in order to lenasot." The article translates according to Rashi, elevate, we have to talk about this phrase, "You have God come, so that awe of him shall be upon your faces, so you shall not sin." The people stood from afar, and Moshe approached the thick cloud where God was. And the question that we're going to ask for today is this very question. Ki lebavur nasot, because Hashem has come to nasot, to whatever that word may mean, so that the awe of him shall be upon your face, so you shall not sin. So we need to understand, Mefarshim Nitkashu, source 4, Eze nisayon yeshkan. What Levavur nasot. Nasot literally means a nisayon. A nisayon is some type of test. What type of test is going on here? What would it mean when Moshe says, "Do not fear, for in order to test you as God come"? And then how does that relate to the end of the pasuk, "So that you shall not sin, so that fear shall be upon your face, awe of him shall be upon your face"? How do we understand the whole pasuk within that context? So I'd like to try to take a look at two levels, and within each level, we'll just have a variant of nuances. Level number one will be the Ramban, and the Ramban quotes the Rambam. That'll be level one. Level two is Rashi, and we'll add the Netziv. That'll be level number two. And then at the end of this year, we'll try to bridge these two ideas as really being complementary, working together, and that will be two ideas. So one idea on what Nasot means, we'll develop it, two nuances. The second idea, Rashi and Netziv, second idea with two nuances, and bring it together, Meretz Hashem, with two ideas, and that's where we're headed for today. So the Ramban, and this is source number three. Now the Rabbi, Rambam, says the Mor Nevuchim, that Moshe said to them, "Do not fear, for the purpose of your being shown what you have seen was to prepare you for the future. So that when, at some time in the future, Hashem your God will test you in order to demonstrate the degree of your faith in him. And to do this, he will send you false prophets, whose purpose will be to contradict what you heard here at Mount Sinai. Your feet will not falter from the path of truth, for you have already seen the truth with your very eyes. And this is, you will be able to stand faithfully through him, through every test that comes your way." So why did Hashem come in this major fanfare of the thunder, of the lightning? The people were petrified, right? The people trembled. They stood from afar. Why was that? So Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, it was in order to test you. What does that mean? It's in order to make you strong for future tests. That if you have future tests of Emunah, where people will come and try to dissuade you from belief in Hashem, the Gerdon Teman, the Rambam wrote, you will be strong in remembering Har Sinai to know unequivocally, Ein Od Milvado, there's none other but Hashem, and this is giving you the strength for future tests. The Ramban now presents his own understanding of the word Nasot. This is the second idea. We'll say it's really nuances, and we'll see why in a minute. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, see that God wishes to test you to determine whether you will observe his commandments, for he has now, through the revelation of Sinai, removed any doubt about him from your mind, as now, in the absence of the ordinary impediments in faith to God, he will see whether you love him and whether you desire him and his commandments. And it's very interesting the way the art scroll, the commentary on the bottom in source number two, really synopsizes these ideas. According to others, a sense of nasot eschem is to test you. By revealing his true greatness to them, God would be able to test them in the future to see if they would be able to resist the lures of false prophets. But if they have never seen the truth, they could easily be deceived. That's the Rambam. Alternatively, the test would be whether, now that they have seen God's greatness firsthand, they would resist the normal human temptation to sin, or whether they would serve God unselfishly like a royal servant whose interest is what is best for his master, not for himself, the Ramban. So, my friends, really, on both of these levels, Nasot is the way we normally understand the Nisayon, and Nisayon is a test. And the experience of Mamet Har Sinai was in order to give them the strength to be able to withstand all tests in the future, both, according to the Rambam, the intellectual test and belief in God, according to the Rambam, the more emotional test of I have a desire to do something, will I be able to overcome my desires? And indeed, L'titcha Elyon, quote from Chasko Levenstein, Zecher Tzadi V'Kadosh Lefracha, who says, She'techli ma'ashit rachesh Har Sinai, source 5. We normally think that the reason why Hashem had the whole Mamet Har Sinai, the experience of Har Sinai, was in order to give us the Torah. The answer is no. There's another matara nosefet. There was another purpose. Lamid etzlam et emunah b'Kadosh Baruch Hu b'riyah chushit. In order to be able to have this real experience of experiencing Hashem, kedei shiuchlu lachar mikem lamod b'chol hanisyonos sheyesh l'adam b'olam hazeh. We're in this world, as Masil Shisharim tells us, la'amod b'nisayon, to withstand tests. Unless we had this inoculation of Mamet Har Sinai, unless we had this experience of Mamish, Atah Reis Ladat, the heavens opened up, where we heard Hashem, where Kivyachol experienced Hashem in His full glory, we would not be able to withstand these tests, because our will and our desires and our questions are very strong. However, when we've experienced the truth, when we've able to have this, so then we have the ability to withstand all the nisyonos in life. And that is why, continues Rav Chaskel, and says that really, the cure to be able to overcome all of our spiritual and or physical, emotional ailments of removing ourselves from connection to Hashem, is really found in the mitzvah of Zechiras Mamet Har Sinai. And that is indeed one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, one of the Ramban writes in Source 6, V'kashir yitzeh Elokim ba'adal b'yachid, when Hashem is going to, whether individually or collectively, do a sign, k'amaflenu liflam ha'reish leish olam eloka, all of these signs are to prove that Hashem exists. And v'chol zeh hushrash b'teva adam b'mamet Har Sinai. And all of this has been inculcated within us at the experience of Mamet Har Sinai. So our job is to go back to Mamet Har Sinai, one of the Sheish Zechiros, remember, of standing at Mamet Har Sinai. When we remember this, that is going to bring us Litzur Etzlenu, Devil Squiggly and Six, Yira Shemayim Lamesha Kol Yimei Chayenu. It will give us Yira Shemayim for our entire lives. And the L'titcha Elyon quotes, Chaskel quotes, the Saba Mikel. And he says, you know what we're like in remembering the experience of Har Sinai? We're like a little child. Take a three-year-old child. And the three-year-old child gets a candy from somebody. What does the mother say? Say thank you. So the little child says, thank you. Now, does a little child have any idea of what the words thank you mean? No. Ima said, say thank you, so I'm saying thank you. But they don't have the appreciation. If someone gave me something and I appreciate it and I acknowledge it, none of that's there. It's just the lip service of saying thank you. We say every day, we say all these Sheish Zechiros. But do we really inculcate this and really feel this? No. And therefore, it's clear why this is cannot be a refuah, cannot help us. That indeed, Mamet Har Sinai will help a person if you're able to really, and that's what the Bali Musar speak about, the Koach, the being able to actually visualize it and be able to relive it. Like if we actually thought about what that Mamet Har Sinai was about, that indeed would help us with overcoming our challenges. And as Rav Schmelzer points out in The Soul of Emunah, he speaks about the idea of Chakira versus Mesora, trying to understand logically our relationship with Hashem versus the experiential knowledge. And he says in 7, in truth, knowledge through Mesora alone is superior. This is because conclusions based on evidence can enhance what one actually experienced. This is similar to the fact that one who consumes a delicacy will not enhance its experience by rationally substantiating that a mixture of these ingredients, each with this distinct flavor and texture, will produce a taste. Once he has tasted, enjoyed it, no further proof is necessary. When we achieve Emunah through Mesora, it's as if we ourselves witnessed Sinai. It's thus an awareness achieved through experience and no greater certainty than that. So that's what we have to work on. We have to work on this idea that our neshamas were there. It's been passed down from generation to generation, the Mesora of Mamad Har Sinai. This is the cornerstone of our faith. And when I am able to somehow emotionally experience this, I don't need all of the proofs of God existing and God appearing to me, because eating that cake is better than telling me, well, you put in this ingredient and that ingredient, and you beat the eggs first, and then you add the sugar, and then you add the, forget it. Just eat the cake. That in itself takes the cake. The Nomovitzker Rebbe, in source number 8, notes that the pasuk seems to be self-contradictory. At first, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the people not to be afraid, and then he says that Hashem wants them to fear him. The answer, Bnei Israel feared that they would die, and they begged Moshe to speak to them instead. But Moshe Rabbeinu told them they should not fear dying. They would hear Hashem's words and would survive, but the reason for the awe-inspiring phenomena was that they should fear Hashem. This pasuk teaches a very important lesson. Some Rishonim say there's a mitzvah to remember Mamad Har Sinai based on the pasuk, Pen Tishkach Et HaDvarim, lest you forget the things your eyes saw. The Ramban writes that this remembering includes not only the Aseres HaDibros, but the whole backdrop and experience of Matan Torah, the thunder, the lightning, seeing Hashem's glory in this world with one's own eye, hearing His voice speaking to us. The point of this mitzvah, says the Ramban, is written in the Torah as well, Asher Yilmadun Liyarauti, they shall learn to fear me, to instill Yerushalayim in our souls. Again, the experience of Mamad Har Sinai just wasn't to give us the Torah. It was much deeper than that. It was to be able to change us for life. It's to be able to have that mark on us of what Yerushalayim is. The Torah is explaining our pasuk why Hashem chose to make Matan Torah such an awesome and frightening event. He did so to teach us Yiras Hashem. Yiras Shemaim includes in Yiras Chayt, fear of sitting as well, which is why the pasuk concludes with the words L'bolti Tachtav, so you should not sin. When we teach our children and Mamad Har Sinai, we must do so in a way that they will feel the fear that Obed Yisrael felt at that revelation. And that's why there's an idea to teach Torah the way it was originally transmitted. I remember once, and I'm going not to mention any places or names or give any hint of it. Remember once when I was doing recruiting for seminary many moons ago. So the way I did recruiting was I would just give a shiur, and you like the shiur, come to our seminary. That was it. No-brainer. So I was in a particular city in some place in the world. How's that for vague? Pretty vague. And I remember that this particular school wasn't really one of our feeder schools. So they said to me, you can come, but you'll come during lunch. Fine. I gave lunch shearing before. Okay. Mechuba to eat, or not mechuba to eat while giving a shear, that's a separate question. In this particular place, how did the kids eat lunch? They had their feet up on the chairs. They were leaning back. You know, it's like sunbathing in the light of the Torah, right? But it was like a total environment of, I would call it zilzul, right? Like, you know, I'm giving them a speech about it doesn't matter what. That yiras hakavod, that sense of awe, that sense of we're learning Torah and we're experiencing the words of the Ribbono Shel Olam was nowhere found anywhere close to that particular experience. And leaving that experience aside, it behooves us to ask ourselves, how do we learn Torah? Is there that feeling of that awe, of that Yiras Shamayim, that when we learn Torah, no Tena Torah, that Hashem is learning with us, b'chavrusa? Do we sit with that sense of of Yira Shamayim, with that sense of understanding the Ribbono Shel Olam is here present with us, and how does that impact my behavior? And indeed, Rashi, at the end of this pasuk, in source 9, Ubavur Tiye Yerusha, Aidei Shere Isim Oto Yerum Uyam, Teidu Kein Zol Tova Tiru Mipanav. The experience of Mamad Har Sinai was one of transformation, that we continuously have this aspect of Yiras Hashem in front of us at all times. And what is Sensitiva Torah of Gamliel Rabbeinu at source 10, Mayim Adregas HaYira Amitit? So Rashi teaches us Lirod et Tabore, V'lostam Re'iya El Riyato Yir'im U'muyam, V'zoi Tam Adregat HaKlai Somat HaTorah. It's not just seeing, its fear, its awesomeness. The koma sheyavik klal sarich liyokam beprat. This has to be with each and every one of us. Shviti Hashem lenegdi tami. Place Hashem in front of you at all times. That's a mandate. V'largisha barinim sal liyado. Feel that the Ribbono Shel Olam is by you. Shimistater ish meistarim vani lo ener pasuk in Yirmiyah. If a person is trying to hide in the room, Hashem doesn't see. You have to feel that the Ribbono Shel Olam is with you at all times. You know, and he goes on, Rav Gamliel, to say, people talk about Amuna Bitachon. I believe and I have Bitachon. You know what the real test of Bitachon is? Do you really feel? Lahargish, to feel. Not only to know intellectually. Shivisi Hashem Negdi Tamid. And that's going to elicit a feeling of awe, a feeling of being careful with who and what we are. It's not just, again, this theoretical idea. Mamad Har Sinai, Lavavur Nasot, this Nasot was about inculcating Yira Shamayim, enabling us to be able to withstand the intellectual and emotional desire challenges that a person will experience throughout their entire lives, that if you're able to bring the Yira Haromimos, the experience of godliness, into one's life in a very real way, being able to live Mamad Har Sinai in every moment, you're going to live a completely different life. And this is what the Mishchat Shemen, Rav Kaufman, speaks about. He brings the Dusha Slavi, Rav Levi Yitzchak of Miberdichevs, Zecher Tadevik, Lekadosh Levracha. And he says in 11, Mevor Mikan Limu Nifla Bavarat Hashem. We learn something gevaldik in our service of Hashem. Ki kashirit kalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'nei Yisrael v'pacha v'yira. Hashem came to them in this massive, awe-inspiring experience. Haitak avanat ha-borei Baruch Hu l'ashvish v'libam koach chazak shalitz gabrus v'omet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was instilling within us this ability of strength, standing with that shuddering and that awe is like embedded in us. It's inculcated within us. It's part of our, if you want to say, genetic DNA. We have the ability to access that understanding and that feeling of Hashem's presence, and that will ward off a person from sinning. In the bracket, Kadesh Tamodu Benisayo. Ki Kashirti Khastu Vitamdu Benisayo Zakshav. Yushrash Bachem Koach Shel Yira Shamayim Vitamdu Tamiba Ofen Shel Tiye Yira Topanechem Vulti Techno. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them. I'm glad you're afraid. Take that fear and make it part of you, because that's what's going to stand you in good stead throughout the entire time. And he goes on to say in the squiggly, Ki b'sham Mamad Har Sinai, Horida Kodesh Baruch Hu Olam Ruach Tahara Shel Yirat Shamayim. Hashem just brought into this world this spirit, this pure spirit of Yirat Shamayim, Shebekoch Zeh Yichli B'nei Yisrael B'chol HaDoros, that we have the ability to withstand all the temptations. And when you see yourself wanting to sin, wanting to speak that Lashon Hara, wanting to see something inappropriate, Azaya Kir Lashmo and Mamad Har Sinai, Vitvarim Zelam, Shechel Nafsho, Hargashel Shayar Chamayim. It's almost like, you know, like the imagery of just like popping in a candy, and that's going to, you know, keep your mouth busy from saying what you wanted to say. Pop in, breathe in, Yira Shamayim and Mamad Har Sinai, and then I'm infused with that experience. Why would I want to say anything? Elakach Sarich, 13, next page. L'chyo b'chol yom v'yom v'chol shah v'shah. This is the mandate. It's a tough one. To live on this pitch day by day, hour by hour. Shmul tav lav liyo libo er liyirat ha-shamayim li'pachay mimenu min ha-chayt. And the person should live on this level. And when a person does this, Azayhu Zocheh, the end of 13, Shekarsh Baruch Hu Mashpia Lav Min HaShemayim, Hashem will bench you from heaven, Hashbot Shel Rachamim Mitzad Adin. You will be getting Mitzad Adin from the strict justice, a tremendous amount of Rachamim, and tremendous amount of Siyata D'Shemaya to be successful in this journey. This is the challenge. The challenge is to be able to live a life of awareness, a life of Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Tamim, and allowing ourselves to draw upon the experience of Mamad Har Sinai to be able to live on this level with a continuous aspect. With this, we can appreciate, again, the Novinsky Rebbe Zatzal, source number 14. He says, the point of all this is that we should have Yiras Shamayim. That's the experience of receiving the Torah. Hashem could have instead sent down a malach to every single Jew, give him a kiss on his forehead, and then hand him the Torah. Like, isn't that such a sweet, beautiful imagery? Like, oh, this is such a warm and fuzzy way of receiving the Torah. Hashem could do anything, but he chose to do it a different way. The thunder, the lightning, the kol shofar, man, it was an experience of pachad. The Yidim accepted the Torah in a Yiras Shamayim dik away. Torah and Yiras Shamayim are inseparable. The faith of your times will be the strength of your salvation. And the end of this pasuk is Yiras Hashem hi otzaro. Yiras Shamayim is the otzar, the place where the Torah is stored. Someone lacking Yira is missing a place to store all the Torah he learns. The end of 15, Yiras Hashem is not just another Midah Tova. It is one of the fundamentals of Torah, and therefore the Torah was given to us with Yira. Yiras Hashem doesn't mean that one should walk around with a sour face, though the Yitz Hara tries to get us to think it does. True Yiras Shamayim engenders Simcha. It makes us realize that Hashem is everywhere. He's observing us. It makes us feel small, but not down. It elevates us to Hashem and brings us closer to Him. That's what we have to understand. Hashem loves us. Hashem cares about us. We'll talk about this more at the end. In another piece, Novinsky Rebbe writes the following. When we read the Parsha of Kabbalah Satorah in 16, we feel the Yiras Shamayim that Hashem calls Bnei Yisrael at the fundamental event. Why is this so important? And he quotes here the Bach and the Maharal, who both elaborate on the importance of knowing who the no-sein HaTorah is while learning Torah. The Gemara says that the Golos came because Klal Yisrael did not say Birkas HaTorah before learning. How can that be the reason for destruction and exile? The explanation that they gave is that not saying the brachos on the Torah is a symptom of their learning Torah without the proper mindset. The ultimate goal of learning Torah, it should bring us closer to Hashem. That, my friend, is so fundamental. They were learning Torah, but they forgot it, who had given them the Torah. And though it's true that while learning Torah, one should be primarily preoccupied with understanding the sugya he's learning, he should not forget the purpose of his Limud Torah, to connect him to the Nosein Torah, the Tosos, the Rashba, the Kushan, should be at the front of his mind. But in the back of one's mind should be the desire to come closer to Hashem. Separating between the Torah and the Nosein Torah, the giver of the Torah, is the reason for the Korban, for the destruction, for the Golos. And learning Torah is not in a frame of mind to feel the Yira, and the attitude of connecting to Hashem is not permitted, as the Gemara tells us in Brachos. We've mentioned here before quite a number of times, because it, I think it just encapsulates this idea so powerfully, a story that Rabbi Moshe Weinberger from Eish Kodesh in New York tells one of his essays, where he writes that a certain bachur came to, was learning yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and he went over to the mashgiach, to the yeshiva, to somebody in the yeshiva, and says, I see everyone's learning, and everyone's steiging away, but where is Hashem? And the response was, this is not about tshuva yeshiva. And the bottom line was that this boy did not remain firm. And he's absolutely right, this boy. You can have all the learning, but if you don't feel the Ribbono Shel Olam in the experience, so then Haikar Chaser Mino Sefer. Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam give it to us in this way? Is that we should feel his presence in a very tangible way that makes us really live on a state of awareness that it's not just, oh, it's a sweet and nice Torah. No, this is the mouth of the Ribbono Shel Olam kivyachol. This is the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we have to live with a sense of that yearning, that awe, that yearning to connect on this deeper level of this awe, of this relationship. With going back to that example I gave, now with our feet up, you know, munching a sandwich, you know, leaning back, that takes away all the experience of what Torah is about. Because when one learns Torah that way, and one learns Torah in a way that doesn't connect you to the Ribbono Shel Olam, what you have is this intellectual knowledge. You have this intellectual understanding, but you're missing the connection. The Mamad Har Sinai, why we have to remember it, is about connection, about that deep aspect of connection. This, my friends, translates into our lives in a gewaltig understanding of the Alshech HaKadosh, of a piece that we're all familiar with. It's a very famous Chazal. The Chazal tells us back in Rav Kaufman's Sefer Mishchat Shemen in 17, that originally, Shemitchila Allah b'machshava lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu livro et ha'olam b'midas hadin. Originally, Hashem wanted to create the world in midas hadin, in the aspect of judgment. Hashem saw that the world cannot exist this way. So therefore Hashem added the midah of rachamim, the midah of mercy. And joined the two together. So the obvious question is, was there a change in the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam? He wanted to create it one way, but he created it another way. So how do we understand this chazal? So the Alshech HaKadosh of Source 18 explains the following. It doesn't mean, as we normally understand it, that Hashem wanted to lead the world in a way of din, and we weren't worthy of that. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kulo rachamim. It wasn't that Hashem's original intention was just punishment and just, you know, midas hadin and lightning bolts coming out of heaven. Rather, Ela inyani shiratza Kadosh Baruch Hu shashbo chikablu baya olam yu beofen shamakablim yu ruim lekabel hashbo satovos b'midas hadin dahinu b'tzedek u b'mishpat magia lahem v'lo b'matnat chinam lifnei mishrat hadin. Hashem envisioned from us to live a life that we would be deserving of reward als din, that our actions would be so complete that everything we do would be deserving of reward, that we would live like the tzaddikim and yisharim. When Hashem saw that we weren't able to live up to that level, so then he added in the midas harachamim in order that we should be able to be given lekabel shifam atov b'midas harachamim lifni mishrat hadin, above and beyond the midas hadin, because we were not worthy, or we did not live up to this expectation of Hashem to be able to live this type of life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a vision, and the vision was about us. We're the ones who didn't live up to this. Hanhaga Zu in 19, Shamidas Sadin Yeshla Peirush Lemaisa Le'inyan Avoda Mutelet Aldam Yisrael V'chol Yom V'yom. This idea, this vision of living according to Midas Hadin has an implication for our lives day by day. Shitzarich Kol Ish Yisrael, we have to try Lishtadel Tamid Shebeino Levein Atzmo, that in our personal lives, in that which we do, we think, we speak, we act, V'yukol Ma'asav Kefi Midas Hadin V'Amishpat, should be according to the just way. What does this mean? Dahainu Shebechol davar nogea le'nanugotavu ma'asav yishpol l'fi hadin ha'miti. In everything we do, we should really have that barometer. Is this the correct way? V'lo yitein l'asvot hanachot u'psharo la'kel b'chol minei tvarim. What's our normal recourse? It's not so bad. I can say this. It's not really so bad to look at this. This is not what they mean when they say this is inappropriate to see. Let me tell you, there are things that are much more inappropriate to see than this. And we justify our entire lives. We justify what we see. We justify what we eat. We justify what we speak. We justify everything. And that's not living midat hadin. That's living, a secondary type of life, a b'dieved type of life. Eli yizaher tamid shelo yoseh shem davar sheino toim im hashkafat haTorah b'tachlit hayosher. Our challenge is to try to live b'tachlis hayosher in the most upstanding, upright way. Our challenge is to be able to, have the way he describes it in Source 20. It's around the time of Tu B'Shvat, that we should be like a tree that is vaya ke'et shatul in the double squiggly in 20, apal ge'mayim v'chol asher yatzliach, like a very well-rooted tree, that our nourishment comes from well-rooted water, that this is Ritzon HaBore, and nothing's going to allow us to move from that. That imagery of the tree is the imagery of strength. It's the imagery of my roots are planted firmly in the ground, and nothing's going to move that tree from what is correct and what is right. And that's an imagery that we need to have. V'oleh lanu l'maisa, 21a at the bottom, he called Varenu, Shekol Yisrael Yishlu Zaher Shekasher Omed L'Kayim Mitzvot Barei Barach. Our job is when we're about to do a mitzvah and be involved in any aspect of Avodas Hashem, have that Zahirus. Is this being done B'tachlis Hashlemus? Are we doing it to the best way possible? And we should have this imagery in mind. Shavodat Hashem V'Kiyum HaMitzvos HaNikudat HaChayim V'Yusov V'Ikar HaKol Mamish. This is what brings Nachat Ruach to Ribono Shel Olam. And what enables us to do that is that Mamad Har Sinai experience. What enables us to do this is to go back within ourselves and say, Shivis Hashem L'Nefi Tomei, to bring the Ribono Shel Olam in front of us in every single thing that we're doing. When we have this mindset, then it's going to recalibrate our minds, our actions, and just to ask ourselves, Hidni Muchan Musuman, I'm about to do, just saying that, I'm about to do the mitzvahs habore, shitzivani, kibbut avayim, I'll do it differently. Vahavtarecha kamocha, I'll do it with a smile. I'll ask, how can I do more? When I recognize this is about relationship, and that mitzvahs are about relationship, and it's about being in front of the Ribono Shel Olam, and I want to do it to the best way possible, it's going to just reorient my whole mindset. And this is what of Yosef Horvitz, the altar of Narvaduk, points out in 322. The Torah in a person's life should be one and the same. When a person studies Torah the way it's meant to be studied, all of his deeds and actions will be according to the principles and values of the Torah. His actual biography will be outlined in the Torah. When a person lives according to the Torah, he himself is a living Torah. He applies his values in everyday living and develops his personality traits in line with the requirements of Torah. It's not sufficient person studying Torah just for intellectual stimulation. When a person reaches the proper level, there will be no contradiction between who lives his life and the elevated requirements of the Torah. That's the goal. That's Laman Nafso. That's the pitch. That I've given you this experience in order to be able to withstand Nisyonos, and that the Mamad Har Sinai, the Yiras Hashem, the connection to Hashem, that relationship has to be continuous when I learn Torah, and not to learn in a vacuum. Having said this, what are perhaps two ideas that are stepping stones to be able to reach this level, which is hard? So what is Rav Dessler, where he says, one way to gain an inner awareness of the Creator in 23 is to train yourself to act as if you were on this level. Even though you're starting off with just external behavior, this will eventually have a positive influence on your inner feelings. Whenever you have a chance, use such terms as Baruch Hashem, Amir Hashem, Bezrat Hashem, and similar expressions. Part of this program should include prayer. Even if you do not yet pray with Kavanah, since prayer is inherently a manifestation of awareness of the Creator, expressing words of belief will strengthen your inner relationship with the Almighty. So too with all the other mitzvot you fulfill. Even if your thoughts are not always of a spiritual nature, you're nevertheless fulfilling the Almighty's commandments. This strengthens one's emunah, even though it is still external. These positive habits will ultimately influence a person's entire way of being. So we have to recognize this instead of just throwing out in the towel and saying, there's no way, right? This is like beyond me. Okay, let's pick one mitzvah. Let's work on the outer level. Taking the outer level, let's connect. Let's at least say, let's at least think. And through this process, the outer will impact the inner, that we begin. It's not going to be, you know, Rome isn't built in a day. It's not going to be overnight. But we begin to start working on some of our mitzvos where they do become mitzvos of connection. That my Torah learning is learning of connection, and I have that aspect of feeling. Shivitz Hashem l'negdi tami. That when I do this mitzvah, I want to do it right. I want to do it in the best way possible because Ribono Shalom is right here in front of me. The other aspect to perhaps bring this into our make it more accessible. It's an insight of Rav Wolkins at Salam Dat Chaim and Musar in source 24 and 25, where he says if you would have to characterize the experience of Mamet Har Sinai, we could characterize it as Ki Yotzi Milibam Kol Safek, as Ramban said, they had no doubt. This was a moment. V'tafsu et ha-rega shel ha-emes, in the dot, they were able to grab onto the moment of truth. And Rav Wolkin notes, he says, all of us in our lives, we go through ups and downs. We spoke about last week in Shabbat Shira, the music notes, ups and downs. We go through ups and downs in life. At the same time, there are moments in our lives that are rega shel ha-emes. There are moments in our life that we feel this truth so acutely. We experience the revelation of the Ribono Shel Olam with such hashgacha pratit, like it's staring us in the face. And those experiences have to be able to become like the flags of our lives, to be able to hold on to them as enabling us to take those moments connected back to Mamet Har Sinai just to, you know, strengthen those moments and say, wow, I've experienced it. I felt it. I was there. And allowing those moments to be major impetuses in our lives to move forward in a much deeper type of way. So the outer leads to the inner, and allowing personal life experiences to affect our avodas Hashem. Having said this, I'd like to now move, that was level 1 to level 2, and then we'll combine them together. Rashi, and as we saw, the art school translates it different. Lavur nasot etchem, source number 28. Rashi says, Legadel etchem ba'olam, to promote you throughout the world. Sheyetze lachem shem ba'umos, so your reputation will go out among the nations, in that he in his glory revealed himself to you. Nasot is melashon nes. It's like raising a banner. Levavur nasot etchem. Hashem raised you up. This was an experience of exaltedness, so that the nation should know how great you are. The Netziv, in source 29, adds a different nuance. And he says, Uvikar eino tachliko kach elikar kavana, double squiggly, lahagbia mailas hanefesh. Not just to make you great among the nations, to make you great within yourself. This is the idea of what a nisayon is about. Ki begatlus hanefesh yimtzu lev lazeh. It's to raise you up within yourself, that you should see how great you are. Yes, the nation should see. Also, how you should see. As Rav Wolkin points out in source number 30, where he says, "V'zeh kol echam Yisrael sarich sheidavi argish." Every person has to feel. Ki Kadosh Baruch Hu chalak lo kavod. Hashem gave them personal honor. V'nigla alav and revealed Himself. V'zeh marecha shivus bnei Yisrael u'mashem ruyim heim liskalo toleyem. And that shows our greatness, that Hashem deemed it worthy to reveal Himself to us as a nation and as the way the nations of the world will view it, and as an individual, that Hashem came and revealed Himself to each and every one of us. Right? The Aser Dibur at our soul, B'loshon Yochid. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Shetzeiticha. Hashem spoke to each and every person in the way they could hear it. It was a very individualized type of revelation. Every person should say, wow. As we say, Rav Wolbe notes in 31, Kol Adam Chayav Ladad, every person has to know they have importance. And Bishvili Nivra Olam, Klomar Chashuv Anika Olam Malay, I am worthy of an entire world. Continuing 32, Ka'olam Malay, Zoe Chavayat Chad Pamito Shel Adam. This is the experience of every person in this world, that there's no one else like me. From the beginning of time to the end of time, I'm born in a certain time, in a certain place. I obviously have something specific to do. And the whole world is waiting for me. What a mindset to wake up in the morning. You know, when you know someone important is waiting for you, so you jump out of bed, someone's waiting for me. When you know the world is waiting for you, OMG, you know, really jump out of bed. My job cannot be changed with anyone else. That's how we have to feel. And indeed, Rav Wolbe, on Chumash, source 33, throughout Parshas Yisro, Rashi explains that the purpose of Matan Torah was to elevate Bnei Israel. After Matan Torah, Moshe told Bnei Israel, do not fear because Hashem has come to elevate you. Rashi explains that when all the nations will hear Hashem revealed Himself in Israel, Bnei Israel will gain prominence and be elevated in the eyes of the nation. This level of distinction was not limited to Klal Yisrael as a whole. Each individual was elevated to a level of prominence. Hashem told Moshe to warn Bnei Israel to remain in their place during Matan Torah so they should not draw too close to Hashem, thereby causing many to die. Rashi explains that even if one person loses his life, in Hashem's eyes, it's considered as many people died. Every individual has the importance of a multitude. And he goes on in the asterisk in 33, the importance of the individual has been greatly downgraded in our day and age. In contrast, the Torah focuses on the individual and was given with the specific intent of transforming every person into nobility. With this in mind, there is absolutely no reason for one to compare himself to his friends, colleagues, neighbor, or classmates. The focus must remain on one's own strength and midos. Rav Aaron of Kalin would say, why should I ask Hashem if I should be Avraham Avinu? There already was an Avraham Avinu who accomplished whatever Avraham Avinu had to accomplish. I simply want to be Aaron Kaliner and to accomplish what Aaron Kaliner is meant to accomplish. A person's greatness is not determined by how he matches up to those around him, but by how Hashem views him. How has he used his personal mix of qualities in Avodas Hashem? Our avoda is to become aware of our own distinction and not to become bogged down by comparing oneself to others. What was the point of Mamad Har Sinai? So on the first level, the point of Mamad Har Sinai was to get that Yiras Hashem inculcated in us, that whatever we do, L'Bilti Techtau, have Shivitzi Hashem L'Negdi Tameh, Kimimi Balamo, that Hashem is in front of me at all times, that I'm not going to falter, that mindset, that awe, that experience, that connection to Ribbono Shel Olam, that was the whole point of Mamad Har Sinai. And the whole fanfare and all the lightning and thunder, v'chule. According to Rashi, no, the whole fanfare and the whole mindset and the whole to-do was to elevate us, to show us our importance, to show our greatness, that we should be able to realize who we are. And when I realize who I am, and I realize my greatness, then I'm not going to come to sin. That's the end, 33b. The altar of Cain would say that one doesn't have to warn a king not to speak Lashon Hara. Even without a warning, a king is careful not to speak derogatorily. But anyone, since he's cognizant of his awesome stature, realized that with a mere slip of his tongue, a person would lose his life, could lose his life. In a similar vein, if we were aware of our intrinsic greatness, many of our problems would fade away. If we'd realize how petty they are and understand that such squabbles are not appropriate for a lofty spiritual level. So either we're going to be afraid to sin because of the Yiras Shamayim Shivitzi Hashem L'Negdi Tameh, or Gadlus Adam, we're afraid to sin because we know how great we are, and it's beneath my dignity. I'm like a king, I'm royalty. It's beneath my dignity to come to sin. And that was the experience of Mamad Har Sinai, to raise us up, to make us great, to acknowledge that greatness, and that has to be an impact in our entire lives. And this really is our calling. And we've spoken about ad infinitum, and will Mirtz Hashem continue to speak ad infinitum? Every teacher has their ideas they'd like to give over. I'm sure you know mine by now. And this is one of them, 34, of Brazil, Bashvili Nivra Olam. We all have our song to sing in this world. Shiru Hashem, Shir Chadash. Sing to Hashem a new song. Everyone has their own unique personality to sing their own unique song. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for that song. Just like Hashem is an is known as a Yachid, as a unique individual, we too have to bring out that individual nature within us. 36. Omek hasber anyani shasiba monad adam itchaber el b'chinat ha-malchut ha-miyuchadet shebo yimipnei chedet tzadat. What's stopping us from reaching that true potential of our malchus, our greatness, of being able to access that mamad har Sinai, was the chedet tzadat, which gave us this irbuv of suffix. We live in a world of doubt. Am I that great? Was this really that great? Is it such a big deal? But when a person is able to get beyond that, and a person is able to be mitchaber l'bechinat ha-malchut shebo, which is like Mamad Har Sinai, of coming to that core of Adam HaRishon before the sin, so you're coming back to Adam, to Gan Eden, Kodem Chet Adam HaRishon. And he says, this is why, the Sosemis writes, that we all have the ability to come back to Gan Eden. We all have the ability to come back to Adam HaRishon before the sin, even before Mashiach comes. That's why Hashem put guards at Gan Eden. If he meant that nobody should come in, he would have put a gate and locked it and thrown away the key. But having guards there means that you can get past the guards and that we have the ability to enter in. We have to work on ourselves, seeing the Gadlus HaAdam, seeing our greatness. Okay, my friends, now that we saw these two really very different ideas, we really see that they're Hainu Hach, they're really one and the same. The Yiras Hashem, that awe of the Ribbono Shel Olam on the one hand, that I walk around with trepidation, and the Avas Hashem, the love of Hashem, where Hashem sees how great we are and how wonderful we are, that is going to be the what's going to ensure that we don't come to sin. And as Rav David Cohen and Lekach David points out, these are really two aspects of what Mamad Har Sinai was about. He says, 38, based on the Ramban, the real point of Mamad Har Sinai was to be able to inculcate within us emuna, to connect to Hashem, to be able to come to these two aspects of Ahava and Yira. And he quotes the Drush Tochachat Usar, the foundation of our work, it's with three things. Why we're here in this world, what Mamad Har Sinai gave over to us, is our focus in life is about three main things: Emuna, Ahava, and Yira. Faith, love, and awe. The Katav Od Uben Elu Yira V'Ahava Ba'im V'China Achad V'Hi Hamuna Shlema Belukim V'Shkafato. Emuna is really encompassing the Ava and the Yira. When one has Ava and Yira of Hashem, one comes to full Emuna. Shebazetid lahev lev hadam lavauto lirauto. You're to come to love God and to have awe of Him. Now, based on this, he says, we can appreciate on the last page the idea of the Gra and Shira Shirim, where the Gra says, so really, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to us, Mamad Har Sinai, and he told us the first Dibraz, Anochi Hashem Lokecha, written in the positive, and that's all the positive mitzvahs, and that's the whole idea of Avas Hashem. Lo yeh lechalim achirim b'anai, you should have any other gods on my face, that's Yiras Hashem, that's the aspect of the awe of Hashem. That the all the positive mitzvahs, zachor, is really the aspect of love of Hashem, of rachamim, umidas, shamor b'mitzvahs, lo tasei, Not to do is coming from the fear of Hashem, that I don't want to go against the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the mitzvah of say palopa midat ha'ava, velota say palopa midat ha'ira. That we have in the Torah both the mitzvah of say and mitzvah lota say. And the Rechaim HaKadosh writes that that's why it was sufficient for Hashem just to give over the first two dibros and nothing else. Because once these two aspects have become firmly imprinted in our lives, that's all we need. That Klal Yisrael should know, unequivocally, to love Hashem and to fear Hashem. Love Hashem is all the mitzvot aseh, and to fear Hashem is all the mitzvot lo taseh. That's the encapsulation of the entire Torah. So now I understand, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to Bavur Nasot Etchem, Nasot has these both these connotations. It has the Avas Hashem, that Hashem raised us up, that Hashem made us unique, that Hashem wants us to keep the mitzvot in order to have this amazing relationship of Ava. And Labavur Nasot is to ensure that we don't go over the word of Hashem, that we're able to withstand Yisyonos challenges, those are all the Yiras Shemayim. And really, it's not one or the other, it's the complementary of both that create the Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As Rav Yosef Yosel Horvitz, he's the altar of Narvaduk, I made a mistake before, he points out that there are different levels of Ahavas Hashem. On one level, it's, you know, oh yeah, I have Ahavas Hashem, I have Yiras Hashem, it's very, very chafif, it's very, very shallow. There's a second type of fear of God, when a person sincerely cares about the Almighty asks from him. He is intellectually aware the day of judgment will be taken into account for all that he has done during his lifetime. This level of awareness is rational, intellectual. A person's level is a strong belief in reward and punishment. But even though he has a certain level of belief, he's still missing an emotional experience of fear. Because of this deficiency, it's possible for his behavior to contradict his awareness. He might know all his obligation, but he can nevertheless act as if he did not. What is the true fear of the Almighty? This is when one experiences emotionally such a strong fear of God that nothing else exists for him but this. A person on this level will have a strong love for the Almighty. He experiences so much joy in this awareness that nothing in the world can take him away from observing the Almighty's Torah. His mind is focused solely on his connection with the Creator, and he has no fear for anything else in the entire world. This emotional experience is so powerful that the person will not do anything to contradict this awareness. The real goal is not just Avat Hashem as part of my life, and Yirat Hashem in another part of my life. The real goal is the synthesis. Then when I come to such a level of connection to the Ribono Shel Olam, my love for Him does not want me to make Him disappointed in me. And therefore, that leads to that Yiras Haromimos, that awe of Hashem's greatness, which works hand in hand with love, Lubilti Techto, that one won't come to sin. So practically, on this idea of connecting the two levels for our lives, again, we're talking about very lofty ideas, trying to bring down a little bit to our lives. You know, oftentimes, when we're confronted with doing something, we have to ask ourselves, well, why don't we do this? What comes into our mind? So if what comes into my mind is I'll get punished, so that's one level of fear of God. And that works for a lot of people. At the same time, if that's the only thing that comes to our mind, I'm afraid of punishment, then my relationship with Hashem is very much a fear-based relationship. And then everything that I do is, oh, I have to do this. If I don't do this, I'm going to get punished. And unfortunately, oftentimes we teach children this way. You know, the fire and brimstone approach of Torah, which is not good. On the other hand, to have just love of Hashem, Hashem loves me, and I can do whatever I want because Hashem loves me and Hashem cares about me, that also is not healthy because then it just allows me to feel that I have, you know, an open forum to do whatever I please. The ability to connect the two together, because Hashem believes in me, because Hashem loves me, I therefore feel this sense of connection to the Ribono Shel Olam. When I feel this sense of connection, I wouldn't want to do this. Not because I'm not allowed to do this, but I wouldn't want to do this. And again, for our lives, even if it's once in a while, to flex this muscle where I'm about to say Lashon Hara. I can't say Lashon Hara. I'm not allowed to. Great. Stop there. Reframe it. I'm not allowed to, and as a Bas Melech or Ben Melech, I wouldn't want to. And I know that when I'm stopping from saying this, I am bringing so much Nachat Ruach to Ribbono Shel Olam, and this is a moment of connection. You don't feel it? That's okay. Just by saying it, we're retraining our minds to try to bridge the Bavur Nasot into a composite whole. That it's both the greatness and the Yira that have to work hand in hand together. They complement each other, that enable us to reframe what our relationship is with Ribbono Shel Olam. The second idea, and with this we will end, is the Tiva Torah, who says, Aval afshar lefaresh v'emet davar achad hem. Really, these two ideas are one. Elo shetaluya davar betotatav, it depends on the result. Shekein, kol nisayon im nichshal bo hadam, hareshe v'yoli dei vizayon. If you have a nisayon, and you fall in this nisayon, then you're embarrassed, it brings a vizayon. But let's say you have a nisayon to not say something, or not see something, or not eat something, and you pass that nisayon, wow, you've become greater. You've went up one notch in the ladder. You overcame your innate desire. And now your relationship with yourself and Ribbono Shel Olam is so much greater. Really, it's both, one and the same. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us that when I'm going to, and every person is tested in this world, when a person comes to a test, and the Mamet Har Sinai is to inoculate you against those tests. When you are faced with this nisayon, and you overcome this nisayon, v'chol nisayon shaver adam u'kedei l'rod midat yirat yiratom abare. And every nisayon really is testing where's your yirat shamayim in this case. And when you're able to say, I didn't do it. There's my Yirat Shamayim. I stepped back, and I did it because I was afraid. I did it because Hashem said not to do it. I did it for all those reasons of Yirat Onesh. But at this very moment, you have become greater. You have become closer to Ribbono Shel Olam. So now, when you overcome a Nisayon, and generally say, okay, I was afraid of punishment, so therefore I didn't say it, therefore I didn't do it, stop. And say, now, I have become greater in my eyes and in Hashem's eyes. That every nisayon that we pass has the ability as a nes, harama, to raise us up. And that, my friends, is a tremendous emotional boost for each and every one of us. Yes, the first way of connecting the two is a little bit more esoteric. That the Ava and Yirat Hashem have to work hand in hand in every mitzvah we do. The second, which is perhaps a little bit more concrete for our lives, when we're human and I don't do something because I'm afraid of punishment, don't stop there. Then give yourself the following next sentence. Wow. Hashem feels, realizes, has elevated me. I am on a different level as a result of not doing this. I am greater. Lubavur nasot. Because Hashem now has made me a greater person. And when a person is able to pat themselves on the back and say, wow, I am greater. It was hard, and I overcame it, and I'm now a stronger person. That mindset of inner strength and greatness is going to help a person over time be able to connect those two levels together and say, it's not just a year I'm afraid, but there's love and greatness and connection. And that, my friends, is really our goal and what the Mamet Har Sinai is about. Not just about getting Torah. It's about having a relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam. A relationship of awe, a relationship of love, a relationship of cognizance that Hashem is with us, that Hashem is with me at all times and I have to behave in a certain way, and Hashem is with me at all times to raise me up and I'm able to bring him nachat ruach, and that relationship becomes so much more enhanced each and every moment of my life.